Reading in the book of Isaiah, the chapter 14, 24th verse, the Lord just outright makes a statement here that to me is a real outstanding statement. The Lord of hosts has sworn. Remember, the Bible said because God could swear by no greater than himself, he swore by himself, saying, blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. So the scripture here says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have proposed or purposed, so shall it stand. Now, in the 26th verse, this is the purpose that is proposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. I believe that what God has thought will come to pass. I believe that what God has thought will come to pass. It is my conviction that God, before speaking and creating all things, thought the world into existence. And that the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world was in God's thoughts before the world was ever created. And that we are saved by the forethoughts of God, which was the foreknowledge of God. As God has thought, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. According to what God says, as he thinks, so shall it come to pass. I want to read some in the 14th chapter, and I want you to listen at one of the things that God thought on before the world ever was. And we're on the verge of this happening to Satan. I want you to listen to that now. For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will choose Israel and set them in their own land, and the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place, and the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and handmaids, and they shall take them captive whose captive they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke. He that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir tree rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no fellow is come up against us. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee. At thy coming it stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave in the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness, and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt not be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed thy land and slain thy people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for the iniquity of their fathers, that they do not rise, nor possess the land, nor fill the face of the world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut off from Babylon the name and remnant and sons and nephews, saith the Lord. I will also make it a possession for the bittern and pools of water, and I will sweep it with the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have proposed, so shall it stand. This, of course, is the forethoughts of God, the foreknowledge of Almighty God. Whereas he says here, speaking of Satan, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground? You, he said, are the one that weakened the nations. He says to him, he said, you said in your heart that you would exalt your throne above the stars of God, that you would sit upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north, that you would ascend in the heights of the cloud and be like the Most High. He said, but you're brought down to the pit. Now, it is a true fact that the people of today who are in power, that are inspired of satanic forces, those people are self-sufficient. They don't believe in God. They put God under their feet in the sense that they try to magnify their educational systems and ability, their powers and riches and authority. They try to elevate themselves by that means above the stars of God, which are the Christian people. The Christian people of today, they are supposed to be the most highly exalted people on the face of the earth. But Lucifer doesn't believe that. So then he enters into a man. If you notice, it says here, how art thou fallen? Art thou the man that did all of this? Which it indicates here that the devil or the spirit of Lucifer works in human beings and in high places, in great power and authority, like the great men of old, Alexander the Great and the great Napoleon and the great Hitler and those great leaders, those great money men. Satan, all Lucifer, lived in the heart of those men. And many of those men weakened the nations and literally shook the world like Hitler, killing 6 million Jews at one time, as we would say. Now, he says here that he exalted himself above the stars in Hitler. We saw the exaltation in that the Jews being a natural representative of the stars of God. We see how that the dragon, as we would say, typically speaking, tied his tail around a third part of the stars, cast him down to the earth, and trampled upon him. We see this also in the Dark Age when this came to pass, back there when the church, the Roman powers, lifted themselves up and killed the Christians. And so then it says here concerning that Lucifer lives in the heart of mankind. And it says here that he causes trouble, causes wars, causes all the problems in the earth. He is responsible for the tornadoes and the epidemics and all of the things that happen throughout the world that cause misery. Satan or Lucifer is to blame for it. It says here that people shall narrowly look upon him. He said, it says, for he did shake kingdoms. He made the earth to tremble by the great earthquakes and all of the turmoils and the problems that he caused. He said, but now you're cast out like an abominable branch. And it says, when they look upon him, in the lower pits of hell, they will say, "Art thou altogether become weak as one of us? Are you the man that would not loose your prisoners?" In other words, when you look over here in Iran and you see this man that's so arrogant, a madman that's got those prisoners over there that refuses to turn those people loose because of his foolishness, one day God will shake him down. One day God will tear him down. And see, it says here, "Are you the one that wouldn't turn the prisoners loose?" That is, the powers of evil that not only have natural people in bondage and prison that shouldn't be there, that have some that have literally died in prison when they were not guilty, held them through the dark ages and other times, still got them today across the world, even here in America. But it also indicates that Lucifer has control of people in a spiritual prison. And they are tormented day and night with fear, bewilderment, all kind of evil feelings. They're torn all the time. They can't rest. Poverty is on their trail. Sickness. See, it said, "Are you the fellow that caused all of that problem? Art thou also become weak?" Then he says here, "How art thou fallen, Lucifer, O son of the morning?" You know, right here, you can really see something if we'll just analyze this for a little bit. The Bible speaks of Lucifer as being the son of the morning, being the great power that really, when you understand it, is standing between God and between the children of God. The serpent having climbed up into the upper lintel. You see this through mankind. As mankind tries to rise up in this age that we're living in, get to the moon. Whereas he said, "Though thou climbest up to heaven, maketh thy nest among the stars, from thence I will cast thee down to hell." So then the carnal mind, the intellectual reasoning that comes from the tree of knowledge, we see this as it climbs up into the upper lintel. God, who cast Lucifer out, made him the ruler of the darkness. Yet, Lucifer, the same Lucifer that God cast out, has climbed back up through the beast in the garden, climbing back up through the weakness of Eve, climbing back up through Adam, or that is to say, to get between God and Adam. That is, when he got between Eve and Adam, it indicated that he had gotten into the heart of Adam and had gotten between the life of Adam and the God that gave life to Adam. That middle wall of partition, the one that was the ruler of the darkness, he that hath control over the intellectual reasoning, the powers of science, that which seems to be prevailing today. Perhaps some of you don't remember this, but I made a statement. I said the bottomless pit is the intellectual mind and learning of mankind. There, you cannot fathom that thing. There is no end to it. Ever learning, but no foundation. Whereas the Bible says the things of God have an end. The mind of God, the knowledge of God, the things of God have an end. They make sense. They fit together. But scientists does not make sense. They theorize something to find out about something that they theorize, that they might understand it so that they can theorize something else, to define it enough to theorize something else, to theorize something else. And they never quit learning. They've got colleges, they've got all kinds of machines, they've got everything to try to define the world and God's creation, and yet they never understand anything. It's just one great big wilderness. I made the statement, I said it is a bottomless pit. And I said when they get out there away from this world, if they get out there in space, they're gonna learn this. They're going to discover this, and they're going to find out that it is a bottomless pit. And I said, this planet Saturn, which they call the sixth planet or whatever, I said it has to do with Lucifer. And when they begin to latch on to that, It means it's time for the coming of the Lord, and it means that Satan is coming into view. I said in that dark hole that they got, they call the dark hole, is nothing more than God letting them know that that is the bottomless pit out there. Whereas scientists said it looked like it was drawing everything into it as it approached. My statements a lot of times seem wild and seem like they're unfounded so far as being stable. But notice one thing after another the Lord confirms and proves. Whereas I learned that since scientists has gotten out there messing with Saturn, they have discovered so many things. Until now they have made the statement that what they're learning and what they're doing and trying to define concerning Saturn, they said it's a bottomless pit. It's a bottomless pit. They've come to understand that it is a bottomless pit. And now they've gotten out there into that bottomless pit and they'd love to get back, but they'll never get back. When you go into that world, you never get back. You go beyond the point of no return. And you never get back. It is a bottomless pit. You go down into it and you never get back. So then they've gone off into it. And I say this again, the world, remember, the world is just one little ball just floating around in space as far as it can be found out. And they've proven this by going out there round and round. Say, well, there's science for you, Brother Pike. Now there you are leaning on the arm of science when you condemn it. No, I'm not leaning on it. The Bible said that God set upon the circle of the earth and beheld the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers. Science didn't need to prove that. All science did was discover what God already said. See, when you talk about real knowledge is that which they discover that God's already said. Like electric lights and these signs. We say, well, that comes from science. The word science means knowledge. Paul said falsely so called. Electric lights didn't come from something falsely so called. That was the divine ordination of God. I can prove in Revelation that electric lights had to come into the world. There wasn't no way for them to fail to come into the world. It was the act of God. God chose a man to discover that. Isn't that right? Now, so then they have gotten out there into that world. And since they've gotten out there, they have gotten away from this little ball, as we say, that's floating around. That means that they are losing their stability. They're losing their power to reason. They don't have any more means of measurements. How do you understand what I'm saying? They don't have any way to define anything anymore. They've gotten beyond their ability of definition. They're coming to what we call the infinite, and they can't fathom that. Only the people with the mind of God can fathom that. Only the people with the mind of Christ can understand that. So then they've gotten themselves out there to where they can't get back. They've went on a long journey, and they've got out there in that world of learning. Now they can't get back. That's bad, isn't it? You know, even when I was a boy in the scouts, they taught us better than that. We at least chopped a tree or broke a limb or something to find our way back. But they've gotten out there and you can't tell them anything. You say that's falsely so-called. They say no, but yet it is. See, it's not real knowledge because the Bible teaches the knowledge of God is true knowledge. They're ever learning falsely so-called, but they're never able to find out the truth are the knowledge of God. See, because they're going into the wrong spirit, they're swallowed up of the wrong spirit. The wrong spirit has got into their spirit. They're hungry for money. They're hungry for fame. They're hungry for the comforts and convenience of the flesh. They want to drink and frolic and do the things of the world. They don't want to submit themselves to godliness. Therefore, their spirit has gone out of their body into that great beyond, which is a dark pit of no return. Our spirit has gone out of our body, but our spirit has gone into the spirit of Christ. To be absent from the body, to be present with God. So then, whatever you are on the inside, that's what you are throughout eternity. If your spirit is in the spirit of Christ on the inside of his body, Christ within you, the hope of glory, then the kingdom of heaven is within you. If you don't have Christ on the inside of you, and you're in the bonds of iniquity, If you're caught in that bitterness that Paul spoke of, then on the inside of you, your spirit, your life, the innermost you, is in a world of intellectual reasoning, which is a pit of darkness. It cannot find the answer. The little saying they've got in the world, they cannot get it all together. They keep saying, we're trying to get it all together. You know who's trying to get it all together? The devils and the demons are trying to get it all together. And they've got people torn all to pieces saying, keep cool, keep cool. They know it's getting hotter and hotter. They say, we're trying to get it all together. But brother, you're not going to be able to keep cool, and you're not going to get it all together either. We're over here in the refreshing where it's cool and nice, and we've got it all together. Now, so then the things of God have an end. When we look at this, we realize that people, the spiritual you that is, on the inside, you are where you're going. Somebody said, well, one of these days we're going to get to where we're going. Brother, you're not going anywhere. You're already where you're going. That innermost you is in the powers of evil, in the hands of darkness, in the mind of intellectual reasoning, which is the kingdom of Satan, and which is the mind of abuse and trouble and heartaches. That's why you're tormented like you are. But serving God is not torment. When your spirit goes into God, you're not in torment. You're in the kingdom of God. The Bible said, lift up your heads, ye everlasting gates. The King of glory will come in. But it says concerning them people out there, said, you gates of hell, you can't prevail against this. So don't let them swallow you up. Don't let them swallow you up. Look at the thing through spiritual eyes and understand what God is telling you. You see what I'm saying? So then Lucifer, son of the morning, what are you doing? He's climbed up into the upper lintel. How did he do it? Through the grace of God. When the blood was spilt at Calvary, then God poured out his spirit upon all flesh. And that meant that Lucifer could live in the heart of a human being. As I say again, referred to as a red dragon. Why? Because he's in the bloodstream. It's the blood life. It's that natural life that we could say a lot about. But when you say, Lucifer, thou son of the morning, you look, you see the great light representing God as it comes down upon the earth. But then you see that moon rim, as we say up there. You see that middle wall of partition up there? Darkness on one side, light on another. You know, that, of course, shows the church. We know that man is hot on one side and cold on another. Isn't that right? God said, I with us, you're hot or cold. He's cold on one side. He's hot on another side. He's dark on one side. He's light on another side. Well, that is to say his innermost being is on fire for God, with Christ, the hope of glory within him, but the outside is yet unredeemed in that we're working on the body. Like the song says, God created everything, he worked on everything, but he's still working on me. Hallelujah. See, he's trying to make me into his own image. Now we use the terms, God said, come, let us make man in our own image. We say, what does he mean by that? We know that God made Adam in his image. We understand that God made Adam in his image. God meant to make Adam in his image. He made Adam in his image. The real definition, when you read it there, it says, come and let us make man in our image. It's not after the image or as the image, but we really are going to make man, God said, in our image. Now look at it like this. Adam lost the entire world to Satan. Is that right? How many of you know that Adam was a prince? As the son of God, he was a prince. You say, what kind of prince? The prince of this world. He was the son of a king, the son of God, and God is the king. Therefore, everything that God owned, he put it in Adam's hand. Adam owned everything, lock, stock, and barrel. Whatever Adam called it by name, that's the way it was, because it was Adam's. He was a prince. But when he lost out to Lucifer through the weakness of the flesh, that is to say, Eve, then Lucifer made himself a body in the sense he entered into mankind. He become a man, a fallen angel, but he become a man. Is that right? He become a man, and he became the prince of this world. Jesus called Lucifer the prince of this world. Jesus is called the prince of peace. But Lucifer is called the prince of this world. Why? Because he took it from Adam. Lock, stock, and barrel, as we say. He took it from Adam. Nobody could stop him from taking it from Adam. Nobody has ever been able to take it out of his hand. So then he was the prince of this world. When Jesus came, Jesus took it out of his hand. Is that right? But when I say nobody's ever been able to take it out of his hand, Jesus was not of the blood of Adam's lineage. Not anyone in Adam's lineage could do it. There had to be another bloodstream. Had to be a body prepared in the image of Adam. That is to make him a near kinsman to where he would have the right to do it. But he did live the life that was required. He did do the service to God that was required. He did do the things wherein Adam failed. And he did take it back, and he is the prince and the owner of this world and mankind. And someday he's going to claim his right when he goes forth where the God of heaven is sitting on the throne with the book, the seal book. Jesus is going to go forth and claim that book of redemption, because that is a redeeming book, our book of redemption, that has the redeeming rights to all that was lost. It is sealed within there and proven that he did redeem everything back to himself, our God. One day he's going to claim his inheritance. John wept much because he knew that Lucifer had everything if nobody could open those seals. If nobody could loose those seals, then that meant Lucifer was still the owner of everything. And what a horrible nightmare, brother, sister, that would be. So then we look at it like this. God made Adam in his own image, isn't that right? He made him in his own image, but Adam is the name for the red clay, or the fallen part. Whereas the Son of God is the title that he gave him before the fall. God made him in his image as the Son of God. But the Son of God image was lost in Adam. It was lost to Adam. It was lost in Adam. But then when Jesus came, it was found again. I come to seek and to save that which was lost. What was lost? That which was in Adam. I come to redeem. Therefore, the Bible said we wait for the redemption of our body, which is the Thessalonian chains. Isn't that right? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, from mortality to immortality. When we look at it, we say, then Adam is the beginning of the creation of God. No, the Bible doesn't say that. It says that Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. Is that right? That's what he was before he fell in the garden. The Son of God. It doesn't say he was a Son of God. It said he was the Son of God. Why did Jesus come? To be Adam again. In what way? He was to be the Adam that had fallen, to pay for the iniquity, to put it back to the Christ, the unfallen one. That is to say, in the beginning it was Christ, and then it fell to Adam. So Jesus came to be Adam to put it back to Christ, the Son of God. So today we are sons of God. We are restored from the fall, and the price has been paid. And I say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? I mean that Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. Not Adam, not the fallen one, but Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God. So then, God sent Jesus, as we say, that he might say unto him, come, let us. Come and let us. Come and let us make man in our own image. Well, that is to say, God, who is a spirit, God could not make you nor me in his own image. He could not do it, except he said to the Son of God, you are the near kinsman. It is your blood that doth atone for mankind. It is you that hath the power of preeminence. It is you that hath won this thing back out of the hands of Satan. You are heir to my glory. I need you. Come, let us make man in the image of God. And the Bible said, in the image of God created he him, male and female. So then he said, come. Christ Jesus is a human body. Though he had atoned for sin, yet he could not do it without the Spirit of the Father. For he said, within myself I can do nothing. But I do all things as the Father shows me. And whatever the Father tells me, and without the Father I can do nothing of myself. Therefore, without the Spirit, the body could do nothing. And without the body, the Spirit could do nothing. So then the Spirit of God had to have a perfect body to work through to get to you and I to make us the beginning of the creation of God. See, God said, let us make man in our image. So then the beginning of the creation was Jesus. And who are we but bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh? It is through Jesus, the beginning of the creation, that God hath made us in his image. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, you don't really expect me to believe that. You don't expect me to believe that Jesus was way back yonder. The Bible said he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He must have been back there. How could he have been slain from the foundation of the world? God said, as I have thought, so shall it be. As I have proposed, the purposed, it shall be as I have said. Now, Lucifer, thou son of the morning, how is it that thou art fallen? Lucifer that sits upon the earth, as we say now. Lucifer that has climbed up through grace, climbed up through the weakness of Eve, over between God and the children, using, as we term it, the means of blackmail. That is, God can't destroy the world. God can't correct the disorders. God can't do anything of himself unless he has somebody to work through in the earth. That's a near kinsman. Because he doesn't have any right in the earth, in that he gave it to Adam and lost it to Lucifer. But through the Son of God, he hath right in the earth again. Through the members or instrumentality of humanity, that is the Christian, he hath right in the earth again. So the whole world is in darkness because it was lost to the tree of knowledge and human reasoning, or Lucifer. And all of the world is in darkness, and God is the light. And God, in his fullness in Jesus Christ, came down into the midst of this darkness. Amen. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then, as the old lamplighters, we said so many times, went about the street lighting the candles. In that, the Bible said, the candle of the Lord, your spirit on the inside is the candle of the Lord. God desired truth in your inward parts. He began to light the little candles. You've heard of the candlelight service. And then you became the light of the world. Jesus went away. He said, I am the light of the world. Now ye are the light of the world. I'm a great big light because I'm all the light in one. But as I go away, you're going to be a light by measure, and you're going to be a light by measure, and you're going to be a light by measure. But all of us receiving the measure of the light, we're ordained to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. That is to say, collectively speaking, we make up the body of our Lord and Savior as members in particular. Ye are the light of the world. You're the only one that's got that understanding of light. All the rest of the world has educational understanding, human understanding. They're instructed like the beast that I use the terms a lot of times. You take the dog and say, give me your paw, stand up, roll over. That's the only mind they've got, the only understanding they've got, because they're a beast. They're in darkness. But ye are the light of the world. You've got God knowledge. Scientists, knowledge, falsely so called, they are in darkness. And the Bible said the children of this world are in darkness. And they walk in darkness because that darkness has blinded their eyes and they cannot see where they're going. So then gross darkness is over the people. So scientists are stumbling along in darkness with theory, trying to figure out what's going on, trying to get it all together. But we've come to the end of the world. You say, how do you know that, Brother Pike? Because everything shows it. We use the terms, Babylon is fallen, Babylon the Great is fallen. We said that typically it's right here to Sawa. Look at the earthquake that hit. Hit over in Babylon, hit over in Rome. 3,000 people or more, was it? Now, look at that. And we spoke about Mae West dying, the keys coming down, the different things, all this, what it had to do with. Numbers of things that we spoke of, even the death of the little girl that the lamb was taken to, the flowers, whatever. All of it had a great significance. We are in the end of the world. We brought out the other day concerning Peter and the end of the second world and what would happen to the end of the third world. When we say first world ended, Peter said, and the old world passed away by water. Somebody said, well, I know that. The Bible says so. Then we say the second world passed away. And say, where's that at? Peter said, you're the people upon whom the end of the world have come. Calvary. The first world passed away 2,000 years. Noah, the ark, the water world. All of it passed away. Then the second world passed away. What world was it? The beast world. That world of blood, that world of human anatomy. Where? Calvary, 2,000 years. Now the last world is passing away. We are on the verge of the very last turnover. The last covenant. We brought it out somewhere on tape, the three covenants. The last covenant. We're on the verge of the last covenant. The third world is passing away. What is the third world? How is it passing away? The third world is the world of angelic beings. It's passing away by the burning of his spirit, spiritual burning, by the brightness of his coming. He's destroying it by the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You say, where is this at in the Bible? We know where it's at for the first 2,000 because it passed away with water. Amen. The blood world, we know that Peter said that's the end of the world. But where is this other one at in the Bible? Revelation 12, and the Bible said there was war in heaven. It was a spiritual war, and Lucifer went out, and that world passed away. But he said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. He's among you, for now is the end of the world. For he said, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God. Now it's time to reward the dead. Now it's time to reward the apostles, the prophets, all of them. So we're approaching now the end of the world. The covenant of God. See, it was Jesus. That was the covering. That was the covering. Back there was the covering that was taken off the rent veil. That was what the Holy Spirit covered himself with. We brought it out concerning the covering. Then we spoke of the body of Christ. How that you have to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. In your spiritual man to become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, ought to have on the wedding garment here in the end of the world. So then it is the third world that is passing away. How then do you know that it is being destroyed? First of all, the Bible said in the latter times it would be earthquakes. Earthquakes is multiplying. We've never had earthquakes like this before. Like James Isaac said, he's about 70 years old. He said, I've seen more, it said there have been more earthquakes in the last 10 years than ever been in all of my life. See, it is earthquakes multiplying everywhere. The Bible said it would be in the end time. Isn't that right? It is here at the end of the world that these earthquakes are beginning to take place. And you say, well, what is causing that? This goes back to Lucifer being fallen. When the Bible said the piercing serpent, Leviathan, the piercing serpent, thou that makest the deep to boil like a pot. That is to say, we read here in the scriptures, hell from beneath hath moved for to meet thee at thy coming, and hath enlarged itself without measure. Hell, the ball of fire that science says is in the heart of the earth. It's moving out. It's melting down the nickel. It's melting out the rock, that casing around it, going on up to the mantle. And it's beginning to eat it out, just like cancer, eating the inside of your body out. It's beginning to eat it out, melt more and more, get bigger and bigger and bigger, so that the mantle of the crust is getting thinner and thinner. Who is doing this? Down at the bottom of the ocean? Down at the bottom of the ocean, the deep depths, it's hot down there. Why? Because that fire's in the heart of the earth. It makes the deep to boil like a pot. See that? The tide rolling to and fro. You ever notice that? See, God, we spoke the other night of God having the salt in there. In this deep that boils like a pot, he's got the salt in there. You know, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, did you know that that also had to do with salt and sulfur? Now I want you to notice this. Salt is a purifier, isn't that right? The heavens, that is the heat, clouds picking it up, putting it all over the earth. The sun drawing it up out of this pot that boils, picks it up, puts it all over the earth to purify. It's a purification. Old people used to put it in the wells to purify. Back there, the prophet took it, put it into the water to purify. It's a purifier. It's a type of the saints of God in the earth. The day that the family of Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, the fire and brimstone came. Is that right? And the Bible said, ye are the salt of the earth. The day that you're raptured out, the meat spoils. So then God's put all that salt in the ocean, as we've used the terms in the past, to purify, because the many species in there, they die. He has to keep it purified. And he uses it, he draws it up, brings it out, purifies the earth, the streams, they all roll back down in there. God has done that for our benefit. But Lucifer, the Leviathan, the piercing serpent, he's the one that's making it to boil. He's the one that's causing it to churn. He said, well, now how does he do that? Because he is the prince of this world. He has control of the atomic matter. He has control of the winds. He has control of the sun, the moon. And the tide is controlled by the moon. And the earth is turning like this all the time. Turning, that fire melting down on the inside, melting down, getting bigger and bigger to meet the thy coming. It's getting to where the earth is cracking open. As the earth rolls over and the tide churns around this way and that way, Lucifer causing the storms and the earthquakes. See, he's making it to boil like a pot. He's got control of it. He's just churning it around every which way, and the earth can't take it because the mantle is getting thinner and thinner. It's just breaking over, cracking open. I said, well, if that's so, then why did God ever put fire in the earth? Because fire in the earth is what holds the earth in its orbit. Now, if it wasn't for this fire in the earth, it would shoot out of its orbit like that. And I said, where'd you ever read that in science? I never read it in science. That's what the Bible shows. Now, in the heart of the earth, there's a fire. This fire is relative to the sun. And that sun drawing on that fire relative to the sun, that's what keeps it in its orbit. Otherwise, it would shoot out of its orbit. You say, well, if science didn't say it, I don't believe it. How are you going to prove it? I'll prove it by the Bible. According to the Bible, everything Paul said, everything in this world is relative to some invisible thing. And all of the visible things are created by the invisible. And he said all of the things of God from the beginning of the world, or the creation of the world, are the invisible things. Now the things that you can't see are clearly understood. That's how I understood it. By the things which do appear, even to the eternal Godhead, so that we are without excuse. There is no confusion over the Godhead. It's the devil that's causing people to be confused. So then, according to Revelation, look at your fire in the heart of the earth. Jesus down in the heart of the earth, the natural Jesus. Christ in the heart of our physical earth. What is in the earth? My heart, my blood. Blood is relative to fire. Fire in the heart of the earth. The veins that run in and out the earth of silver and all kind of ores running in and out. Same way in my body. It's all the same way. So then, what does that have to do with God, the great light? God is called the great light. The sun, the great light, relative to the earth, keeping it in its orbit by the fire within the earth, with inside of me Christ, the hope of glory, there's that burning fire. God is called a consuming fire. Here in the heart of the earth, here it is on the inside, that great light, that God is the great light, Christ, that light inside of me, that fire inside of me. God, in that the sun is fire, so is there fire in the earth. Scientists have learned, as we say, that the sun is a big ball of fire, fire in the earth. So then Christ is part of God, or he is God within our heart. So then the great light is God. The Bible calls him a consuming fire. Here, this fire inside of me keeps me in my spiritual orbit. I orbit around God. I stay within the orbit of righteousness. I stay within the radius of righteousness, because if it wasn't for that Christ on the inside of me, I'd shoot out of my orbit, and I'd get out there in that old intellectual, devilish way of life, and I'd be a hippie, and I'd be a drunkard, and I'd be like the rest of them. I'd be out there in the bottomless pit. I'd be out in the darkness. But as long as Christ is within me, I stay within my orbit. I orbit around that great light, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we see that the end of the world is here. Everything is breaking forth. Hail from beneath is breaking out, coming out to meet you that don't love God. It's consuming the earth. Amen. It's going to swallow up the earth. It'll be one big blaze. So is it with this physical being, that within my heart, Christ, as the light that broke forth on Moses' face, as it broke forth in the Shekinah glory as Jesus stood on the mountain, it is breaking forth from within me, consuming my outer being. You say, what's breaking forth? The wisdom of God. Yes. For the Bible said, wisdom maketh a man's face to shine. They could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake, for his face shined as that of an angel. So then, it is breaking forth from within me to utterly consume this outer being. For the translation ought to bring about the glorification of the great light. Now, when we look at this and we see this, we know that the end of the world is here. We can tell every way as we look at it that it is here. God cannot get to us in the sense that we're sinners. That is, before we're born again, because Lucifer is up there. He is intercepting every blessing. Everything God does has to be through Lucifer. And some of the men understand what I'm saying. Now, it has to be through Lucifer. It has to be worked that way. There's no other way. But that is a form of blackmail. See, but God has bypassed Lucifer now. He's gone into the heart of the Christian. He's come down and he's got people spying out that ground. They've gotten over into Canaan, and they're over there ready to drive the beast out. They're over there ready to get rid of it, because God is transmitting from within the hearts of mankind, and the light is getting bigger and brighter, and the brighter the light gets, the more the darkness leaves. I look at the candlelight we used to have. Look at the old lamp light, the old smutty globes, but look at the light as it's grown brighter and brighter. And brighter. Now we've got so many candle powers. We've got fluorescent lighting now. We've got all kind of lighting. All down through the years, it's got brighter, brighter, to let us know that the knowledge of God is getting so bright now that we're lighting up in a new, wonderful way with a new experience in God. And the darkness is backing off farther and farther. And we're taking this world for God. The more candles we light, the more candle power we've got. And the brighter it's getting, and the more the devils and demons are driven back into the shadows. Isn't that right? You know, there is what the Bible refers to as the shadow. David said the shadow over the valley. We spoke of it, the valley of death. But the Bible said he that abideth in the shadow of the Almighty, we say types and shadows, in the shadow of the Almighty, he's going to know the secret. For he'll abide in the secret place of the Most High. He'll understand the revelation. So then when we see these wonderful things taking place, we know that the end of the world is at hand. Is that right? We know that Lucifer has been cast out. How art thou fallen, O son of the morning? How is it that you've fallen? Through Christ. For I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, and I have destroyed him that hath power over death. To us, he does not exist, because we are not in his world. He is not in heaven. He is cast out of heaven. Therefore, we are in heaven. Lucifer does not exist. To Christians, there is no Lucifer. There is no devil. There is no sickness. There is no poverty. There is no death. Not to Christians. When I say Christian, I mean to the innermost you, the Christ. You say, but Brother Pike, I'm having plenty of problems. That's just your old body that's laying out there in the grave that the skin worms is troubling. That's all. That inner you went to God and is hid with Christ in heaven. The devils can't get to that. If you'll get away from the graveyard, you'll quit messing with the skin worms. You can be up here in that place where you can enjoy life. But brother, let me tell you something. As long as you don't want to go God's way and you don't want to walk with this Christ on the inside and you're half in and half out and you got your mind on the garlic and onions looking back into Egypt or looking back at the graveyard. For the Bible said that God just turned it into a graveyard and a rubbish pile. As long as you're looking back there, you're going to smell the stink of that old evil rot. You're going to be out there with the skin worms and you're going to be out there with what they call the ghost and the goblins. But you don't have to do that, folks. You can dwell in a world of light because ye are children of light. You don't have to look back into Egypt. The Bible said any man having come out of Egypt, looking back out there to those garden onions, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. If he puts his hand to the plow and he looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, looking back, the eyes of your understanding, you're not fit for the kingdom of God when you go to thinking about the world. You're looking back. I don't want to think about the world. He said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't want my thoughts going back into Egypt. You exist in another world. Woe to them that are with the body and inhabit the body and the earth. For Lucifer saveth the things that be of the flesh. But God has chosen you out of this world. And ye are not of this world. Else the world would love you. But ye are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. And you're sitting together in those heavenly places. Therefore, Lucifer cannot give you any trouble. Lucifer is in the second heaven. But when you got into the spirit, beloved friend, you went into the third heaven. Your body is the one that's got the problems. So then, if you'll just believe under the redemption of your body, accept the fact that God has redeemed your body. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Don't mess with the devil. There'll be no devil to you. There'll be no problems to you. For he hath no power over you, that is, over your life. The only time that Satan can trouble you is when you give yourself into his hands. When you believe yourself into his power. You say, but if there ain't no Satan, Brother Pike, then what do you mean? There ain't no Satan to Christians. God destroyed him that hath power over death, Satan, for the Christian. He took the Christian into heaven. But now, if you want to go back down there, you know, into that land, as we say, if you want to look back into Egypt, while they've got all kind of ghost stories down there about him, got all kind of things. He rules by fear. And he'll just pull you right back down there and have you thinking he can just do anything to you. Isn't that right? You get a man so scared, like that little test they put him through here a while back. You know, they gave a little program over the radio where they put this man through the test or whatever, or was told about it. Scared him to death. They scared him to death. The devil seeks to scare you to death. That's why Jesus said, fear not. I've destroyed him. He don't have any power. Fear not. So I don't fear him because he don't have any power. You love Jesus? But he said, you have power. Behold, I give unto you power over all of the powers of the enemy. How can you do that? I've destroyed him that hath power over death. You believe it. This is the victory that overcometh the world. What I've done for you. You believe it. It's your faith. Even the victory that overcometh the world. You understand what I'm saying? So, well, I can't believe that. Well, you didn't overcome the world. So, well, you said he overcome it for me. If you can believe that. This is the victory that overcometh the world. You believe that. For this is the victory, even your faith. For I have done it for you. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All right, so there is no Lucifer to Christians. We shouldn't spend our time worrying about the devil and saying, mind the devil's giving me a hard time. Mind the devil this, mind the devil that. Where have you got your mind? Why are you doing that? Why come you can't say glory to God? You know the Lord done something good for me today. I'm looking for something good from God. I tell you, it's wonderful to serve the Lord. You ought to just serve the Lord. You ought to give him a chance. My, have you ever been to church, you know, and just worship the Lord? Somebody says, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. So the devil won't let me pay my debts. The devil's giving me a hard time. The devil's giving me a pain. All right. I'm just trying to explain it to you like it is. In the world, I got a little saying, tell it like it is. I'm telling it just exactly like it is. You know, the way the Bible tells it, that is the way that it is. All right, I want you to stand together with me. I'd like to say a few more things tonight, but it's getting late, and I've introduced quite a number of thoughts already to your mind, and I hope you've understood what we've said, at least some of it. You know, if you believe the Bible, you're all right. If I could not believe what Christ Jesus said about having destroyed him, Satan, the one that hath power over death, I wouldn't believe none of the rest of it. I wouldn't believe none of the rest of it. If Jesus said he destroyed him, he destroyed him. He's finished. And somebody said, well, why come he's still around? In the foreknowledge of God, he ain't still around. God's already seen him bound over that 1,000-year period and then taken out of there and thrown into the lake of fire, and he's ended and he's gone. He's finished. There ain't no more devil when God looks around. He's gone. Just like there ain't no more sin in your life when God looks around. You're complete in him. He sees you're a finished product in Christ. He doesn't reward you anymore according to your folly. So then, Lucifer has been destroyed. He's gone. He doesn't have any power anymore over the Christian because he doesn't exist in the Christian's world. He only exists in that other world, and that is through their fears and wild and vain imagination. They believe him into power through their weird, vain imagination. But for us, he exists no more. Therefore, let's rejoice forevermore, the Bible said, for serving God is joy. Let's praise the Lord. Let's be of confidence in everything that he says because all of his promises are yea and amen. Somebody said, well, where is heaven? Heaven is in your heart. For the kingdom of heaven cometh not by observation. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That means we're transformating by faith, by knowledge and understanding of the mind of Christ that spoke the world into existence. It's transformating the world and speaking it out of existence. I don't know where you can understand it or not, but remember one thing, and I'll leave this thought with you, that when Eve and Adam fell from the garden to the level of the beast by means of the tree of knowledge, they transformated into the world of darkness. And when Jesus came, he gave the power of transformation, even faith, to the saints of God that they might transformate themselves back into the Shekinah glory of God. And with this, we are changing from glory to glory. And with this, it is heaven, my brother, because it is when you can believe that Lucifer is gone, when you can believe that sickness is gone, and when you can believe that poverty is gone, and when you can believe that heartaches is gone, when you can believe what God's word says, it becomes heaven because it shuts out the world. You say, how does it do that, Brother Pike? You say, I'm still in the world, but the Bible said the world is in you. Being in the world, as you would say, you can be in heaven. Did you know that? When God made the world, which was the Garden of Eden, that was heaven. You can be in the world and be in heaven, but you cannot have the world in you and be in heaven. And so then God has made the world to be inhabited. That's part of heaven. That's part of his plan. He's just going to eradicate the bad part of it in the sense of the briars and the thistles and the wicked, and restore all the good parts of it make it blossom like a rose, and you're going to enjoy living down here. Why? It's heaven. We're believing the other part out, and we're believing the right part in. Isn't that right? Even the Shekinah of God from the garden, we're believing it back in, just the way that Adam and Eve, through unbelief, believed it out. Only this time, there's a little different. You say, how much difference? A world of difference. Because we got it on the inside of us this time. And when we believe it back in, it's going to stay in this time. The old beast part is locked out. All without the gates are sorcerers, whoremongers, liars, cheats. They that love and make a lie. Let's sing a little chorus together. Gerald sings Wading Through Deep Waters. I know this is some deep water tonight. But if thou canst believe, if thou canst believe, all men have not faith. If thou canst believe. Did you know that even wicked men can take the power of faith, not even having God in them, and transform their minds? The Bible said they've transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness. Whereas Paul said, be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Satan, a fallen angel of darkness. Remember, a fallen angel of darkness. That is intellectual reasoning from the tree of knowledge. Debauchery. Corruptible thoughts and thinking. Darkness. He, the Bible said, hath transformed himself into an angel of light. That is, he can change his mind, his thoughts, to the extent that he can talk about the word of God, like he said to Jesus when he said, cast yourself down from here, for it is written, and appeared to Jesus as that mind of light. Isn't that right? So can his ministers do the same thing. But brother, sister, he said he would ascend into heaven and make his nest among the stars, but God said, I'll cast you down to hell, O Lucifer, thou son of the morning. That is your transformating power that hath no right to transform yourself, but you've done it by the means of grace in Calvary. Your day will come, and the day of light will be over. And all of you that are reflectors, he said, wandering stars that have no light, there's a mist of darkness reserved for you. And when the day of grace withdraws, there'll be no more radiance of his brilliance upon you, and that my spirit won't be upon you anymore. Blood will come off the mercy seat, and it'll all be over for you. But we that are lights, born to the innermost light, radiating from within, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Brother, ye shall shine as stars in the firmament of God's heaven in righteousness forever and ever. Don't be a religious proselyte. On the inside, gluttoning your filth and ungodliness, hungry for the world and the lust of the flesh and everything that your heart can crave toward the flesh. Satan does that. That's Lucifer in you. But be born again of the Spirit of God. Cast the old devil out of heaven. Get him out of your soul and body. Let the blood be on the atonement seat of your heart. Let the radiance of his glory enlighten your heart. Get the world out of you. And let the kingdom of heaven dwell within you. That you can have that innermost light. So when grace goes out, you'll shine as a light from within, because you've got grace on the inside. Even the grace of God that bringeth salvation. Teaching all men that denying worldly lust and ungodliness, they should live soberly, righteously in this present world. You better think, folks, because it's so close. It would deceive the very elect if it was possible. Being a hypocrite, being a reflector, being a religious proselyte, that is so close to a Christian and being a real, genuine, as you walk side by side with them, that if it were possible, that would deceive the very elect himself. But there's something in the innermost heart of an elect that makes him to know that you just ain't right. John said, I know you ain't right. They said, how? He said, because I know I'm right. So when you know you're right, so well, Brother Pike, you can't really know that. If you don't know it, you haven't got it. The Bible said we know that we pass from death unto life. It's a God knowledge on the inside. So then we know that we are right by His grace. And the child is known by his doings, and we know that your nature is not according to his doings. We know that you're not right. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. We sang the song, I Love Him. Do you really love him? I've told you the truth, Paul said, because I tell you the truth, am I then going to become your enemy? Be spiritual. Paul said, I left to speak unto you as unto spirituals. Lucifer's been cast out, my brother, sister. You say, how do you know that? Because he said, I destroy him with the brightness of my coming. How do you know he's been cast out? Because the revelation has carefully come forth. And it's not left a stone unturned. Down to the uttermost, even to the intent of your heart and understanding. That means there ain't a shadow left in you for him to hide in. Not a shadow in you left for him to hide in. The light struck every corner. So then if he's in you, it's because the light hasn't come in. But you that are children of light, he couldn't be in you because the light's become too bright. And the light has searched out every corner of your heart. The candle of the Lord searching out the inward parts. So then that means that Lucifer hath no place within you. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me. He has been cast out altogether. He was cast out altogether by the body of Jesus. There was no spot or blemish left to Christian. But though we had salvation and perfection through his eyes, yet the redemption of the body can only come as the knowledge of the Lord reveals itself to every intent of the heart, to the very intent of casting down the imagination. And then there's no spot, no shadow left within the human reasoning to hold the body in bondage or the creature. For the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of this world, the beggarly elements, into the glorious liberties of the innermost sons of God, which is Christ within you, the Spirit, the hope of glory, till Christ be formed within your nature, Paul said. So then that means the rapture is at hand. The redemption of the body is at hand because the light is going into every nook and every crevice and run the devil out and lit the house up to where there's no more shadows. No more shadows, even the types. All of the shadows are gone. But the reading of the Old Testament, the Bible said, the veil remaineth over the hearts of the people even until today. The types and the shadows. The shadow is still there. Not the revelation, the exposed, that which is put on exhibit, the mind of Christ, but the shadow, the veil, intellectual reasoning, the death veil, the executioner, the carnal mind from the fall in the garden. What a wonderful day. The hour of the redemption of the body. What a glorious moment. What a glorious message. What a glorious time it is. Where is heaven? I just told you. Let's sing this chorus together. I love him. How can we get there? Would you really like to go? Say, Brother Pike, I would like to go if I just knew the way. I'm going to tell you the way. Thomas, I'm the way. I'm the way. How can I come? Thomas said, I'm the way. I'm the way and the truth and the light and the life. No man cometh to the Father or the Spirit but by the word of revelation and understanding and transformation and divine deliverance. For the light of the glory of his unveiled face, the songwriter said, it's changing me. Let's sing that little chorus before we sing the other, can we? Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. It's the glory that is changing me. You know, God said, Moses, you can't see my face. I'll let you see the shadows. I'll let you see the back part, the woman's hair hanging down her back. I'll let you see my glory as it passed by, the hinder parts. But you can't see my face. Because no man can see my face and live, Moses. I'm glad today we can see his face. Paul said, as one beholding face as in an open glass. You say, but how, Brother Pike? Because the Bible said, reckon yourselves to be dead. Dead in him by the body of Jesus Christ. Dead unto sin. Dead unto the law. Dead unto that veil that was between Moses and God. Dead. Seeing him face to face. Talking with him face to face. For then shall we see face to face. To know as we are known. For we see through the veil of the glass of intellectual reasoning darkly right now from the fall. But when that which is perfect has come, then we won't see that way anymore. We'll not be looking through types and shadows in the veil of the law. But through the wonderful eyes of Christ. The eyes of your understanding enlightened to comprehend the depths that we have been down there with the Lord Jesus, and we paid the price. Went through the chambers of hell, but he couldn't hold us because he gave us the keys. The width. We have comprehended the width. The width to know all that he hath done for us. All of our wonderful benefits. Round and about. Even from everlasting to everlasting. And we have been able to comprehend, as he said, the length and the heights. That is, we know where we've come from in the length, and we know where we're going because we've comprehended the whole thing. And we've comprehended the heights of him that has ascended into heaven, in that we have been raptured away even under the third heaven, for we are caught out of this world in him, having comprehended the glory and the majesty of sitting upon the throne with him in the heavenly places. Whereas, beholding his face is that which is unveiled, we are changed from glory to glory into the brightness of his image that was lost from the garden, coming back in Thessalonians, changed to the millennium of the brightness of the eternal day when that great, wonderful Ancient of Days sets out there when New Jerusalem comes from out of heaven. We ourselves are being changed from glory to glory as we his face is unveiled from light to light, glory to glory, from inspiration to inspiration. Let's sing this little chorus, Let Thy Will Be Done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let Thy will be done. Create
And us, the mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. Do you feel Christ inside of you? Or it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. Oh, let thy will be done.
I wonder tonight, do you really feel the will of God being done in your heart and soul? Do you feel God, the Spirit of His Word and enlightenment, the unveiling, the changing, the transformating? Can you feel the translating forces in your spirit? Can you feel the transformating powers in your thoughts as they change? Can you feel the transfigurating stimulation of the inspiration as it strikes your blood genetics to change your image into bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh? Do you feel that will of God being done on the inside of your heart? If not, you need to get God in your heart. Can you sing that with me one more time now? It's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope, Christ, the hope of glory within you, to be like Him. Oh, let thy will